We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There we go. Another week going solo. Sorry. This week, things get in the way. Life gets in the way. Scheduling. I had a really special guest lined up, and schedules get in the way. You know, I'll save it for when it happens. Really excited about the guest that I was going to have this week. It would have been a first for the show. Would have been a first for home theater. Wow, my screen's going crooked here. Might fall off. Squirrel. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that would have been a lot of fun. Would have been different. Would have been something that. Something that we haven't had before on the show. I don't think any home theater show has had what I have lined up. But things get in the way, schedules get in the way. I ended up working at the house. My buddies were really getting going on excavation, had to take down some trees, lots of fun stuff. So, the way things went, this is what happens when you procrastinate, you know, save it for the last minute. And I got a hockey game tonight, so I got to get this done because I promised you guys that I would do a show and I would do Takeover Tuesdays as long, you know, there's no reason not to. I started this show sitting down by myself doing, you know, talking home theater. And back then I had some notes in front of me and, you know, talked about scenes. And right now I'm flying off the cuff because I had nothing to prep. And we're going to have a show, as you're listening to this later today, the live show with John and Steve. So I'll have plenty to talk about there. A lot of great movies this week. And even one that I thought was a lot of fun. It's a Sony disc, I guess. It's not a disc yet, but really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the movie way more than I thought I would. And here's what's weird is the Sony, you know, release disc. It wasn't like blown away by it like we usually are with Sony. Doesn't mean it wasn't good. And I'm wondering if that's a case of, is it possible that we're getting, I don't know, spoiled? Are we getting spoiled in home theater? Is it just getting so good that it's hard to be like, wow, anymore? You know, I mean, we do sit down here this each week, you know, John, Steve and I, and we talk about stuff that, you know, movies and scenes and stuff that really kind of, you know, blew us away. But it, to me, it just seems to be getting harder and harder to experience like a oh my God experience all over again. I know since updating the Lumigen, I've been really impressed. But it, even that, it's, you know, like I said a couple of weeks ago on the show, it's like, is it, you know, is it real? Is it me just justifying? Is it me seeing something, you know, cause I'm seeing something that I hadn't seen before. But maybe it was always there. I'm just noticing it now. I don't know, but I am really impressed by it. But I mean, like, that's an impress, you know, that's a way to impress you now for me is like, upgrading some pieces of equipment that changes the experience. But is it getting harder for the creators, the artists to give us something that really blows us away, that makes us go, wow, this is like, I've never seen this before. To me, it seems to be getting more and more rare that it's, you know, like, oh, wow, look at that, a pan across the front of the room. That I remember when that used to be so exciting to me. You know, the James Cameron, the pan across the front of the room from, like, Terminator and Terminator 2. And, you know, when you had stereo and it was like, I remember when I was younger and it was like just stereo when I was a kid. It's like, oh, my God, it's over there. Now it's over there. And that was super impressive because you were so new at it. And now with surround sound, it's just like, oh, wow. I remember getting my Video Essentials Laserdisc And it's like, let's take a walk around the room. And the voice went all the way around the room. And you were like, I couldn't wait to have people over to the house so they could hear the voice walk all the way around the room. And I mean, it's just, all it was just like the voice traveling from speakers. There's no special effect to it. It's not some crazy artistic thing, but it blew us away because it was so new that was never been done before. Most people didn't have five speakers in their living room to be able to, or never mind a Laserdisc player, and to be able to do that, to be able to do a walk around, a discreet walk around the room. Dolby Surround, you couldn't do that at all. It was the rear channels were mono. So it was, you know, the walk across the front, ProLogic, which was, you know, they could kind of do it. And then the voice went to the back and then back to the front, if they even tried to do it. They used to do test tones, and that was neat. Back when they did that, and it went all around the room, and you'd balance your speakers with your, you know, Radio Shack, you know, SPL meter, and you're sitting there, and somebody walk in the room, you're like, shut up, quiet, stop making noises. I didn't make any noises. Well, your footsteps did, you know, because it's screwing up the SPL meter. Oh, no. And all of that stuff impressed us, and now we have these, like, you know, professional sound designers, artists, and everything. It's like we have Atmos and we can have sound go over us. Still haven't had sound going under us yet. Still waiting on that. That'll be the day, I guess. That'll be something that'll impress me. But everything that's going on, it's like you get a disc, you pop any scene. It's like, okay, Tenant with the trains going down each side. That one. We just had one recently. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but Steve was talking about it in the show, and I was like, yeah, that's like Tenet. So there's two instances. I don't remember what Steve's was. But it's getting harder and harder to impress us with a scene, something that we haven't heard before, something that we haven't experienced before. It can be top quality. It can be a great demo experience for people that are new, that here's another one. That's basically what we're doing now, is like we're looking for more stuff to show people. But what impresses us? What really impresses us in the home theater community now? I'm not disappointed. No, don't get me wrong. I didn't even know I was going to talk about this when I sat down. I just kind of went with this. I was actually going to talk about scheduling and stuff and go from there, because that kind of went sideways on me with what I said. But anyways, yeah, what impresses us now? And like I said, it's not a bad thing that this is the evolution of home theater, right? It's like the content is getting to the point where how does the artist do something that hasn't been done in the home theater before? And I say in the home theater and not just the theater, because I really do believe we've gone past the point of the in theater experience, and impressing us there. Most of the people listening to this right now, I would say agree that the in theater experience is inferior to our at home experience. I'm going to pause on that for a minute and let you swear at me for a little bit there for those of you that disagree. So we'll let that one ride out for a little bit. Okay. Is everybody done swearing at me now? So what I mean by that, is the in-theater experience now, it's like if you went to a theater, pick your favorite theater, pick your favorite Dolby Cinema, pick your favorite IMAX theater, whatever is your favorite theater to go to, pick that one and go there by yourself, sit in the prime seating position, and tell me that is a better experience. Pick your favorite movie, your favorite scene, whatever you want to do, and tell me that is a superior experience to what you're getting at home in your theater. To be fair, not to be an elitist or anything, everybody knows if you're sitting here listening to the show, and I totally appreciate you got a sound bar, then yes, okay. But you're also not swearing at me right now going, DJ, I got a sound bar, because you get it. You're listening to the show because we appreciate that. That's where you are in your evolution. This is what is where if for those people that are just starting out and listening to the show and loving the experiences and stuff we talk about, this is a peek of what's ahead for you. All right. You're going to evolve. Your theater is going to evolve to a point that going to the theater is just a preview for what you're getting at home. When you're sitting in the theater by yourself in your favorite theater, not your home theater, in your favorite theater, Dolby Cinema, IMAX, whatever it is. And you're there by yourself watching your favorite, if you could watch your favorite scenes, it's going to be inferior to a good home theater experience because it's not as intimate. Even in the prime seating position, all of those speakers are so far away. The screen's huge. Yeah, but we got big screens at home. We could do that at home. Even if it's an 85 inch or a 70 inch OLED or whatever, you're sitting close. It's a great experience. The sound moving around the room, the envelopment, everything. You can get the bass. It's easier to get the bass. It's a smaller room. But the intricate details that you can pull out of a soundtrack at home in that intimate environment is so much better than what you're going to get in a huge theater. Okay. That's what my point is. Like, you're not, it's going to the theater is about the experience of being with all the people in all of those other seats. It's not about the surround sound. It's not about the giant picture is great because you wouldn't want to be watching an 85 inch OLED or even a rinky dink 150 inch screen in a giant room with like 200 people. That would be ridiculous. It'd be like inviting everybody over and saying, hey, check out my Laserdisc and putting on a 32-inch TV. Oh, wait, I did that. No, you know what I mean? It's like the big screen is great and all the big speakers all around are great. And the way the Atmos maps it to all those, could have like 68 speakers, 64 speakers around the room, 120 speakers around the room. It's still not as intimate. You can't hear the sounds. You can't hear the little details that you can get at home. It's not as intimate. It's hard. It's hard to duplicate that in a big theater. You need that small room and have it calibrated to your seating position, which is what we all do. That's what we're striving to do. And just when you think you're like sitting in your room and what do we all do? We sit there and go, yeah, this is the best it's going to be. Oh my God, this is great. And you watch a bunch of scenes and 2 weeks later, you're like, I got to recalibrate. I don't think this is good anymore. And that's how we evolve to where we are. And then you go to a regular theater. You go to your favorite theater. What do? Start picking it apart. Doesn't sound as good. Screen isn't calibrated right. This is a 240 aspect ratio. They don't have the screen opened up yet. It's, what happened here? This is horrible. You're just picking it apart. Best case scenario, you go into your local favorite theater and they nail everything and you go, okay, that's what it was supposed to be. You're not impressed. You're just like, that's what it was supposed to be. The going to the theater is, like we said with Carl Ellsworth when he was on, and he was, I forget the name of the Last Picture House, I think it was, or something like that, that he was at. That's what we're looking for. That's what we need. That in theater experience of being with other people, of the cheering, of just experiencing this. It's a communal thing where everybody enjoys it. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's crying. Everybody's scared. That's what going to the movies is about. Going and listening. Remember, we said it on the 25-hour show talking to Carl. It's like, remember going to the theater when you were younger? And it was like, you're just like, you want to go to the movies tonight? Yeah. And we'd talk about that. I'd be in school, like in high school, talking to my buddies or my girlfriend or whatever, and be like, you want to go to the movies tonight? Yeah. Well, first off, you're excited a girl said yeah. So you're like, all right, I don't even care what's playing. I'm just going to be sitting next to a girl. So that's cool. So you didn't have a newspaper on you. So you didn't know what was playing because maybe it was Friday and the movies changed. So what's coming into town? You had no idea back then. No idea. You couldn't pick your phone up out of your pocket because the phones were all wired to the wall. So you know nothing you could do there. And so you had to wait and be like, what's playing? And you'd be like, I'll call you when I get home from school. I'll look in the newspaper. But the newspaper might not even have it. So you got to drive by. Dad, can you drive by the theater so I can see what's playing tonight? Okay. So you drove or you'd ride your bike up there. foot, you'd look at the marquee on your bike and then ride your bike home to call your girlfriend or call your friends and be like, hey, this movie's playing, Romancing the Stone or whatever the hell it was. And you're like, what's that? I don't know. Let's try it. Let's go to the movies. And that's what you did. That's all you cared about. It was a place to go, to be, to hang out and have fun and enjoy it. And then you'd all go, like when I grew up, we'd all walk up. It was all like in the center of town. You'd walk to the local Friendlies and you'd hang out there and get your ride home or whatever. That's where your parents would pick you up. And that was like a date night. But it wasn't about the title. It wasn't about the content. It was about the actual, just the experience of going to the movies. How do we get that back? How do we get that back going to the theaters? How do we get that back in our theaters, in our home theaters? Because that's what I started off talking about. Like we go into our theaters and it's like, okay, there's another movie. And like I said, it's getting harder and harder for me because I go in and I watch new content. And because my system's been upgraded, like I said, the more recent one's just an update, but you're getting these upgrades, new content, it's getting harder to impress you with new content because it's more fun for me right now anyways to actually watch old content and see how great it looks with the new update, whatever it is. And that could be any time. Like I said, when I went from my Denon, from my Onkyo to my Denon, and how the sound got pulled out so much better by the processing in the Denon over the Onkyo. Like I said, my wife thought it was a new projector. That's the stuff that really impressed us now more so than a particular scene. It used to be I'd see a scene in a movie theater and I'd be like, I cannot wait to see that at home. Like, oh my God. Like I don't know if it was on the show or talking with friends, talking about that scene, the Mission Impossible trailer, and Henry Cavill, you know, cocking the fists, the boom, boom. And that trailer and that bass, I couldn't wait to get home and hear it. And it was like, that impressed me. That was something that was a scene that I couldn't wait to come home. But here's the thing. It was the scene to show off, like, has my theater made it there yet? Has it made it there? And my son and I were in Boston. We're at a Dolby Cinema, and we saw that trailer. And the Dolby Cinema had the tactile transducers under the seat. It has great bass. So you got that visceral punch in the chest of those drums when Henry Cavill, like, cocks the fist. And it's, and it, oh, my God, you felt in your seat, felt it in your chest. It was awesome. And I couldn't wait to get home and just find that trailer and play it in my theater. And I had my SVS PB2000s. This is back before the pros. Mine are older. And I couldn't wait to get home and try it. And I come home and try it. And I don't have transducers in my seats, obviously. And I played that scene. I don't know if it was on YouTube or wherever. Played that scene in my theater. And I was like, there it is. I've made it. I've made it. Because when I started out, I didn't have a subwoofer for, let's see, if I'm going back to the beginning, which was in 88 when John and I started putzing around, messing, I almost said the, I almost dropped a, well, it was just on, what you call it the other night. It was on, not Jeopardy, you donkey, Family Feud, where they, it was the other words for swears and stuff like that. And it was like, so anyways, so I almost dropped a quote unquote F-bomb, but where, and that was my other thing. Nope, there it is. So now, I mean, I do have the word. I found it. It's right here. I have it handy. So if I ever want to just say, oh my God, it's
language
awesome, that's all I got to do. So you can drop, you know, A-bombs, F-bombs, S-bombs, whatever, and you can go
language
awesome. And there you go. So, but anyways, yeah, see, I don't know. That talk about sidetracked. Squirrel! There we go again. So, yeah, so I didn't have going back to when John and I started and we were just
language
around. We, in the 80s, 88, it was right after we graduated. We both had jobs. He had like three jobs. I had like three jobs. So we were making really no money. And, but we didn't have anything to spend it on. So we were like, screw it. Let's start dabbling in this thing called home theater. And, it, we didn't call it that. We were just like, I want more speakers in my bedroom. And, but yeah, so starting then in 88, I didn't get my first subwoofer until probably 98, 97, 98, probably 10 years without a subwoofer. And I bought the NHT. I still have it. It's up in the attic somewhere. The S, I don't know what the NHT 10 or whatever. And it had an external amplifier and then, you know, and that was it. And it was a, you know, 10 inch driver. It was good. Nothing like what I have now. But back then, that NHT was fantastic for me because it was cheap enough. I still had to save up to buy it. But the big subs were like the Velodynes and stuff. You were like, oh, look at what they can do. I didn't even know. I heard them. I demoed them, but I couldn't get one of those into my house. Meaning like not size-wise, just budget-wise. I couldn't afford that. So it was easy to justify not having a subwoofer back then because we were so impressed with everything. And I say we as in, I think the general public, I mean, even home theater back then, subs were a tough sell because they were so expensive and it really did seem not as necessary, right? You know, Lee Overstreet, my buddy Lee, I mean, go listen to the AV Rant show that he finally, they convinced him he needed subwoofers. Because he knew he had like, I want to say it was like 15, 14 inch drivers on the side of his towers. And he's like, I don't need a subwoofer. I don't need it. And this is going back maybe 5 years ago. I don't know. Maybe it was two. I don't know. Time has all been warped since COVID. You think it might have been before COVID, but COVID seems like it was yesterday. So kind of screws you up a little bit. But anyways, yeah. So even Lee, who, if you listen, he's been on this show and he's really knowledgeable in sound design, in radio, in mixing, all of this stuff in theater, in home theater. He's really, really knowledgeable. And for somebody like Lee, who I respect immensely, I listened to him fill in on AV Rant for years before I met the AV Rant guys and then eventually had him on my show. And now he's my buddy, right? So here I am listening to him, my buddy at the time, because Yeah, I guess so. I think I knew him then. But anyways, doesn't really matter. Listen to that episode. It's so informative of like how important a subwoofer is. But not only that, it's informative on the misconceptions of bass, of sound. So for somebody like Lee to have gone that long, I went to 98, right? For somebody like Lee to have gone to just like say 2020, right? Let's just ballpark it there. For him to go that long without any subs and to realize the benefit of them at that time is just shows how much of it's, how easy it is to push it aside, right? Like Tom says, I don't know if he said it on the show in a long time, but the least important speaker in the room is the center channel. Right. Because he says that all the time on AV Rant, because he's like, you don't need a center channel because you could phantom center it. And it's true. And it's like, but by that rationale, the most important, all you need are two channels. And he's the only other person I've ever met, Tom Andrew, that is, he's the only other person that I've ever met that has done a demo of a surround sound that was only two channels. We talked about it on the show. I was lucky enough to get it at a Natural Sound in Framingham back in the 90s. And it was two channels. You basically had to sit in this seat and it was like just a single seat. And they demoed a room, a home theater scene. And I swore anybody that was in there would swear that it was surround sound. And they had it dummied up too. They had five speakers around you. But then at the end told you these were the only two that were playing and that were the two at the front of the room. And it sounded like Atmos. Sound went up over you, behind you, everything like that. And to this day, Tom is the only person that I've ever met that has had the same experience, right? Once you've had that experience, you know, basically that you don't need everything that we have in our rooms. Everything we have in our rooms is so that everybody in the room can experience it at the same time. Because in a two channel system, to get that home theater experience, the only person that can experience it in that prime position, similar to headphones. The only person that's experienced it in headphones is the person that's wearing them, right? So that's a basic two-channel system. So not having a subwoofer until 98, it was easy to justify because back then, like I said, it's like, it was all about the pans. It was about the sound moving around the room. That was enough to impress us. It was so impressive. And like I said, a guy walking around the room, but then the, Strange Days with, Ralph Fiennes, that movie, there tons and tons of, it felt like overhead when they used the, it was kind of like a diffusion, but when you went inside the brain and you're listening to what the person's thinking, if you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about, but you're inside and hearing what they're thinking inside their brain and it fills the room. Right. So it's like this was on Laserdisc back in the 90s. And that was a demo. You want to talk Pacific Rim being a demo scene today. That was a demo movie back then. The movie takes place in 1999 at New Year's, turning the century, turning the millennium, all of that good stuff. And futuristic and, you could read people's brains and all of that stuff. But anything that was going on, there was a ton. The sound design on that movie was absolutely incredible. And it was something that it felt like you'd never experienced before. How did they do that? But today that just seems, okay. Yeah, you can do that. Brent Butterworth talking about it on his show, how he knows how to do it now. He's running Atmos. He's making Atmos tracks. He's making Atmos tracks so that you can, like we talked about in the 25-hour show, it's like, here, this is how you test your headphones for Atmos. Which headphones are going to be best for you? People are making Atmos tracks, and stuff that was 20, 30 years ago was blowing us away. Like, how did they do that? And to be honest, it was a lot harder back then. Give Christopher Nolan a lot of credit for still running 5.1 and rivaling Atmos and showing that it's not about the brush, it's about the artist. And all the frequencies are there and I can make all the channels dance. Watch me hold my beer. And it's like, there you go. I gotta imagine though, like what's interesting about, here's another segue. No, what random. Wonder what his sound designers are like, or his sound engineers are like. Are they pulling their hair out? Are they like, oh man, come on, Chris, can we go to Atmos, please? It's so much easier and I can make it sound even, not even better, but it's easier for me. And then they like, nope, I want to run in 5.1. I'm going to run in 5.1 and you're going to have to make the music dance, buddy. And I'm going to show you how. If you don't get it, and I know he's a maniac for this stuff. They all are. Him, Lucas, Spielberg, Cameron, Nolan, they're nuts. Nutso, right? And I love it. It's like they have a vision in their head and it's got to get out and don't get in their way. And it's, I appreciate people like that a lot because I'm like that. My brother. Oh my God. My brother, when he got married, I had to work for him. When he got engaged, I had to work for him. Yeah. And when he has a vision in his head, if you haven't nailed it, he's going to let you know. That's my brother. So anyways, but yeah, so like all of that stuff, it's like how, like things that they could do back then, nowadays it's just it's easy. What scenes now are gonna make you go, wow, I've never seen that? It's getting harder and harder. But it's fun. It's like, that's, again, I'm not disappointed. I'm happy that we're here because this to me is kind of like the, it's always darkest before dawn, whatever you want to call it. It's like, all right, maybe we're in a lull right now, the way I'm seeing it. Maybe we're in the lull right now of content, of being able to blow you away just with content. I'll get to what does blow, for me anyways, what blows us away now. But maybe in a few years, all of a sudden, something will happen and you'll be like, oh my God. I never thought of some artist will think of something and we'll be at home going, wow, that's the Strange Days of, 2028, or, you know, the, like I said, Nolan and the trains going by on each side. That's the new scene, you know, some, or the picture or something like that. It's like, do we ever get, we haven't talked about that in a long time. And I feel like maybe because we're getting closer, passive 3D, where it's like, imagine they invented it and didn't even tell you it's coming. And you're just all of a sudden like, oh, what the hell? This is 3D. Yeah, we've had it. There you go. Surprise. What's that movie that's coming out? That's the new one. Isn't it a Nolan film? I think Nolan's doing that. So, oh man, we don't know the name of it, right? Isn't it? I'm sitting here right. Like you guys are listening and actually talking back to me. All right. Call in 1-800, blah, blah, blah. Let me know what you think. Yeah, right. No, Nolan, I think it is Nolan. I'm pretty sure. Putting out a movie where they don't, if it's not him, I apologize, but I know this is coming. They know the actors. They know the movie. They know a movie, but they don't give you a title and they don't tell you what it's about. They're just saying, hey, go to the movies. Check this out. You're going to like it. And you're like, maybe I won't. But you know what? You're going to go, maybe I won't, but I'll go find out if I do or I don't. They got your bucks. They got your bucks. They found it. Yep. Got your bucks, got your nose, got your nose. There you go. But yeah, that right there, that's an artist redesigning the landscape. Basically
language
with you, you know, really. Cause it's like everybody's so sick and tired of, oh, here we go. Another story. Oh my God. There's a way to get everybody excited about something. Don't even tell them what it is. And to be fair, if people remember, that's what Spielberg did with Jurassic Park. So probably taking a lesson from Jaws, right? So Spielberg did Jaws in the 70s. And what happened is that was out of necessity. The shark didn't work. They didn't know how, you know, couldn't get it to play right, quote unquote. So they had to keep filming, and then they did which it wasn't revolutionary. Hitchcock had done it, you know, the sleight of, or what you don't know is even scarier than what you do know. So that's kind of what they did with Jaws. Not kind of, it is what they did. And then when you finally see it, you're like, oh my God, there you go. Well, advertisement for Jurassic Park was non-existent. It was just like Jurassic Park. It's going to be a movie about dinosaurs. And it's like, all right. And we're all sitting there, John and I, like, all right, is it going to be like Land of the Lost? What are we talking about here? What's this going to be? And if you don't remember back then, if you weren't old enough, or you just literally don't remember what the advertising was like, they didn't know. So again, it was out of necessity in a way, but their advertising was, don't show them what this is going to look like. It's twofold. It actually makes that movie going experience more exciting, because then you're there and you're like, oh, I can't wait to see these dinosaurs. I can't wait to see this. This is going to be great. And it's also a way, and something I do in my line of business, of, you know, mitigating the expectations of the audience, right? You don't want to promise them, these are the most, you don't want to put out a movie poster saying Jurassic Park, the most lifelike dinosaurs you've ever seen. Then the people get there. As soon as you say that, what's the first thing you're thinking? I doubt it. Let me see. And then you get there and you're nitpicking right away. So you're going in with an expectation, and your expectation is perfection. And your first thing, all you can do from there, it's like worst place to be, king. You know, everybody wants to knock the king off the top, right? So as soon as you get there, you're getting knocked down. So if you come in with, this is the best you've ever seen, everybody's going to be telling you why it isn't. It's just human nature, right? So what did they do with Jurassic Park? We're not telling you anything. They got nothing, nothing. So you're going to go in there and be like, all right, holy crap. Now you're like, wow, you're just saying it to yourself. Those are the most lifelike dinosaurs I've ever seen. You're not nitpicking at that point. You're literally so impressed. Your brain's too stupid. Not making fun of you. It's the way it works. You're so impressed that your brain is like, oh my God, you're not looking at any flaw or anything. You're just like, wow. Much like Sam Neill is in the movie, pointing at it, going, oh my God, look at it. He's pointing it. I watch that scene now where he looks back and he's pointing. I feel like he's pointing at a green screen. It just feels weird. It looks like a weatherman waving at the frigging clouds. It looks funny to me. But at the time, we were blown away. And it's all in the delivery. It's, oh, wait, the delivery system? Hmm? The presentation, if you will. It's all about the presentation. So it's stuff like that that's going to impress us. That's content right there that's going to impress us. The home theater, how many people in their home theaters have taken Jurassic Park, put that cup of water in the room, and tested your subwoofers? All right, everybody put your hands down. I've done it. I've done it a million times. But as soon as I got a subwoofer, that's what I did. I couldn't wait to do it. And I was so disappointed when it wouldn't work. I'm like, how do I get this to work? How do I get this to work? And then when I hear enough, you know, special features and stuff and be like, they couldn't even get that to work. That's not how bass works. You have to put it like right in front of the speaker to get anything. And it doesn't move like that. What they did in the movie is they shook from underneath. They bounced it from underneath. But even bass isn't going to work like that. It's like, it's not going to make the cup in a perfect circle like that. It wouldn't work. And it's like, how do you pressurize that room to, I've tried it so many times, but it never moves to that. I've gotten it to move. It moved, but not to that degree like they show in the movie. But there's a scene for the home theater nerds that we like couldn't wait to get home and try. Right? When was the last time we had something like that? I don't know. And it's not that we don't have great content. We do. We have fantastic content. It's so good. It's all blending together. And this gets to what, like dynamics, right? If everything's loud, then nothing is loud because that becomes the new quiet. If everything's great, nothing's great because if everything's great, that's just the new normal. Now it's not great anymore. If everything's crappy, it's not crappy. That's the new normal. That's it. It'll eventually, that's what you expect. This is what it is. So everything we've raised, the expectations of people have been raised so high. The content has delivered on such a level that we don't know whether we should be streaming it, you know, owning it, just, you know, borrowing it, whatever. We get such great content from so many different places that it's now we're picking, all we have left to do is pick on the different ways we can consume it. And then you have, you know, reviews like I read, that our buddy Chris Deering was a part of, where they did the work and they did the painstaking legwork to, you know, sound pressure each movie and get the correct level from streaming and then to Kaleidoscape or disc. And they got it to match and they're like, the dynamics are there. It's all there. It's not as compressed as we all think it is. So like if you put the movie on and you put Top Gun Maverick at a plus 11 over your normal reference level, it'll sound the same as the disc or Kaleidoscape. They were using Kaleidoscape in their demo. But if that's the case, then like what's the difference? Why, you know, and this is why that's why I've been telling people it's not bad to stream if that's all you know, because that's your level. As soon as you hear physical media, whether it be disc or Kaleidoscape, that's going to be a new level. And then, of course, streaming will seem inferior to you. Now, to what that article did that Chris was a part of, you can get it to sound just as good, but think of the work you have to do for each piece of content. Oh, I got to raise this one that high. I got to do this one. And they said that the picture, it does suffer. It's just not as crisp. So there is an advantage over to physical over streaming, but it's not as far apart as everybody thinks it is. And I've always said that. I've always believed that. And if you're just getting into home theater now, stick with streaming. Don't spend your money on physical. I love physical. I keep buying it. I will always buy it. But that's me. But if you're just starting out, I wouldn't, and you're looking to save money, that's where to do it. I'd invest in SPL meter, having fun trying to get that, you know, bring that level up, go above and beyond what you would normally think you'd be listening at and try to pull that out. I've done demos for people a good demo if you don't already own it, Terminator 2. Put Terminator 2 on, whether you have it on, find it streaming or whatever, get in the best audio format you can. Turn the volume up at the beginning until you can hear the kids playing in the background. And you'll hear the little kids on the swing set as they're scanning over the rubble of the land. And it's like the ghosts of the children playing on the playground. And till you can hear that, then, you know, once you can hear them, there you go. Lock yourself in. That's the number that maybe you should watch movies at. And every movie is going to be different. But once you can hear that, you're probably going to be able to pull out everything else in all the other movies. That's just one off the top of my head. And one I've used for 30 years, over 30 years. So it's, you know, it's tried and true. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, hey, wait, there's people in the back, there's kids in the background. But stuff like that. What's the next piece what's the next scene or movie that's going to impress us? This new, if it is Nolan, where they're not giving you a title, a story, or anything, they're just telling you, here's the actors, trust us, it's going to be good. That could be a new way of presenting movies to us. And I can't wait to see what the box office is like. Talk about spoilers, right? What are people going to do there? Are people going to get all bent out of shape, come out of the theater? Oh my God, it's a story of this. Or they come out and say, yep, same old, this, that, and the other. And they tell you kind of what the story is about, what genre it is. Or they'll tell you, they could ruin it just by saying, oh, the first time Nolan's doing a blank and list the genre. And you're like, oh, why did you do that to me? You know, why are you ruining that to me? So does that make the experience better? Does that make everybody want to get to the theater to see this before it can get ruined? Does that bring back that I gotta see it? Like Maverick, I think was the first movie after COVID that people were like, it just played well. It just kept playing and playing. I want to say since Titanic played forever. That had something similar to Maverick. My parents saw that twice. They never go to the movies, period. They just don't. And they saw Titanic twice. So what the hell? But that movie had the fun guy experience of a disaster film. But then it had the love story for women to be like, oh my God, I gotta see that again. It's, oh my God, it's true love. Oh, what? She let him die. Plenty of room on the board. But oh well, true love, let him die. Black Widow, there you go. It's like, men are disposable. I'll find another one somewhere. As long as I'm afloat. But anyways, that's men, utilitarian. But yeah, so that one played forever, played really well. Well, Maverick was kind of the same thing. Did appeal to both genders, appealed to everybody. It had the surround sound, and that played and played forever. And that was the first time since COVID that people really were excited to go back to the theaters. But it wasn't an opening night one. That one just played forever because of the word of mouth. Oh my God, it's so good. If you really break it down, it's really just a remake of the first one, kind of. But we just loved it so much. It really just hit all the right notes for everybody. Now this movie coming out with no title or anything, does that make it like opening weekend is going to be insane? Is that the movie? Hopefully, if anybody in with any kind of power is listening, make that the next midnight showing. I mean, like, you want to see this? And you could sell it. You could sell that one out 6 months in advance. I got to get my tickets. Bang. People would be like, I want my ticket. I don't want this to get ruined for me. I think it's going to be fun. Is that going to be, you know, is that another way to get us into the theater to do that, you know, last picture house type deal, make that experience incredible in the theater, because that's what's lacking. Getting back to our theaters, I don't know. How do we get that experience? How do we get scenes back to where it's like, I've never seen that before. I'm waiting for that. Where is that? I don't know. Where we are today Doesn't mean it, like I said before, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I think it's great. It's the evolution of everything, home theater. Because where we are now is we have all this great content, and no matter where you are in your home theater journey, it's, you know, you're always looking for that next upgrade. Always. If you're not, you're probably not listening to this. You're not listening to HT guys. You're not listening to AV Rant. You're not watching all the YouTube channels on what's going on. You're not part, it's different. You're just like, oh, this is good. I have this nice piece in my house to watch content, but you're not really looking to evolve in it. And I think to me, that's part of the home theater journey. Otherwise it's not a journey. It's you got there and it's over. Journey's done. It's a destination. And I don't think home theater is a destination. So if you're along for the journey, you're along for the ride. Right now, for me, especially, the ride is the equipment. It's the upgrades. It's the what more can I pull out of content that has always been there. I just haven't been able to experience it. Right. Like, Mad Max Fury Road, I believe it was, that Mike Schramm and I experienced with the new SVS 17s. And we're like, that did not do that before. That is something I have never heard before. It's always been there. Todd Anderson and having the infrasonics. Is that the next level? Does that price point come down? Maybe infrasonics right now are where subs were back in the 90s, where we really can't afford it. You can push it aside because it's not necessary, but it is a great upgrade. And it's there. All these tracks have sub 15 hertz, you know, way, way down. There's stuff there that can be pulled out. And we just didn't know it. Ignorance is bliss. You don't know what you don't know. And until it's there, you're not missing it. So that's what's fun about getting to that next level. And it's like, that's why I've never shied away from dreaming of that equipment that maybe I can't afford today, but someday, because who knows, the price is going to come down and maybe I'm at the point in my life where I start to make less. But when I was younger, it's like I had, you know, I'm going to make more and then my expenses are going down. So it's like, maybe someday the price comes down and I'm making more. That's great. And that's how I got to where I am today. So, what happens next? What piece of equipment is going to allow you to pull more out of the content that you love? Right? What's going to make the room dance when you throw on Star Wars? You know, what all of a sudden have you never heard before when you put in your favorite movie growing up that you're like, holy crap, like I didn't know that was there? Or the 4K, you know, any of the catalog titles that are coming out, like when we did Lawrence of Arabia, and you're like, I can't believe like nobody has ever seen that before, like it with this kind of quality. Same with Psycho with a DTS:X track. And it doesn't sound obnoxious. It sounds perfect. And seeing that in black and white and the shades in HDR, 4K HDR. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what Hitchcock was thinking when he was shooting it. 4K HDR and DTS X. Perfect. But now our systems are able to pull out stuff that maybe only he saw. And as John Thompson says, when I've had him on the show and talked to him privately, it's like, I mean, he said it on the air too, but it's like, he sees stuff before it goes out. He sees we've had the arguments, discussions. He's like, that's not the best it can look. And boom, I'm like, yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And he's like, but he's talking about stuff. He's talking about what they are producing before it goes out. He knows that quality. And he does say it's getting closer at home, but it's not. I mean, we have a ways to go. Which I think maybe that's the part of home theater that's most exciting for me, is that I'm seeing evidence of it, personally seeing evidence of it in my own experiences, but also hearing from people like John Thompson that there's so much more on each of these tracks. And even like, you know, Blu-ray or 4K Blu-ray and Kaleidoscape, they're not capable of pulling it out yet. So that's encouraging. Someday maybe there'll be more. You know, I don't know how they're going to market it, what it's going to be, but that's fun. But that to me is where the home theater journey is like, that's the exciting part. New movies come out and I'm excited for them and I love experiencing them. I love the experiences in the room. Like I said, I'll talk about one this week with the guys that I was just like, wow, it's really good. It's a Sony product, a Sony film. And it is, it's really good, but it's getting harder and harder to really, really impress me. And that's, like I said, it's not because it's bad. It's because everything has gotten so good that when you raise that bar, when everything's great, it's hard to have that dynamic of like, wow, this is really bad. Okay. You need bad with good so that you can differentiate between the two. Just like an audio track, if the whole thing is loud, then you just get used to that and that's no fun. It's you need the quiet, the loud. You need to go back. That's the fun. That's the roller coaster ride. That's the dynamics that we're looking for. Just like in the picture on the screen, it's like you go from a really dark screen, then you go bam, you hit them with some light in your eyes, your pupils dilate. It's a physical reaction. Your eyes have to adjust in the room. It can be painful. And you're like, oh my God, but it hit you. You know, and if you're engaged in the movie, then the artist, the director that's what they want out of you. They want you to blink. They want you to flinch. That's what they're trying to get out of you. And they're manipulating the picture, the sound, all of this to get a reaction out of you. How do we get more of that? How do we get some of that we've never seen before? I don't know. It ain't going to be me. I just sit by myself and talk about this stuff. So, I didn't even talk about what I was going to talk about today. But I have a game. I'm already late for it, so I got to get going. But yeah, I was talking about scheduling. I was going to go in that direction and how things can go bad and what we do. And I got a whole other topic right out of that, and I never even got to it. I just went on this tangent. So yeah, I will be back later today. Hope everybody's having a great holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. Get your shopping done. We've got, well, as this comes out, a week. Believe it, a week till Christmas. Crazy. So, but yeah, I will be back later this afternoon. Tuesday is 5 p.m. live on YouTube with the guys, John and Steve. Great movies to talk about. Next week, there will be no live show because of Christmas Eve. We'll be putting out our Die Hard special on Christmas Eve. But yeah, so other than that, it's, you know, stay tuned to what the schedule could be. I'll have updates in that next one. John, Steve, and I'll talk about end of year schedule, stuff like that in the live show and then Friday's audio only show. So, but that's it. So everybody, thank you very much. Thank you to all the patrons. I will be doing a Patreon only chat after the live show today, this week. So buckle up for that. If you want to join me, all the patrons, thank you very much. And everybody, please, Boxes of Popcorn, Tom Andrey this month. We're looking to support him, and everything that he's been through down there in Florida with the hurricanes and stuff like that. He can really use the support. So, I got a couple of boxes over the week, but I really like to see a little bit more. People, I know everybody out there, it's the holiday season. We're spending money left and right. But this isn't a gift. This is somebody that really needs it, needs a lot. And any little bit can help. So would really appreciate that. Just go to the website, and hit up Boxes of Popcorn. You can click on the Boxes of Popcorn and donate through PayPal that way. Or you could do Patreon. You can do Patreon and donate, and you could do a month and then cancel next month if you wanted to. And at least we'd have it for that month. Or you could just become a subscriber on Patreon. That would really help out the show as well. So, all of that stuff, you know how much I love to talk about money, but there are people that need it and I could really use the support. So I really appreciate that. So, but until later, hope everybody has a great, great holiday week, day, season, whenever you're listening to this. And if you found a piece of content that you think is going to blow my socks off, send it over and I'll check it out and see if I can't compare it to, see if it does blow my socks off. I don't know. Or maybe I'm all wrong. Let me know that too. Email me, dj@brightsideofhometheater.com. And that'd be great. And rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. We haven't had one of those in a little bit. We got one recently, but they've been lacking lately. So could appreciate that. Spread the word. Yeah. Go tell a nerd. or a dork. There you go. But all right, I got to get out of here. I'm late. I'll talk to everybody later. Thank you all for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. What else do you got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
There's
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.